I got my five-month-old baby sitting next to me here, so maybe we'll get some background entertainment today. So last time I talked about my trade review, and this time I want to talk about, I finished it finally. It took me 4 or 5 days, a couple hours a day, for about the last 18 months to go through everything. And I made a list of, I'm just eyeballing it, maybe mid-20s or so mistakes that I've made in the last 12 months. And of those, there's about 8 of them or so, 9 of them that I've made multiple times and it cost me a lot of money. And I also went and looked at the hallmarks of my good trades and what they had in common, which was actually really simple and clean on that side of things. But the losers, the ways you lose money are, there's a lot of ways you can lose money. And a lot of it is your own personal stuff. It's behavioral stuff more than market stuff. So one of the big goals I have for the year is in my, two goals, but my first goal is let's see if I can just lose without behavioral issues becoming an issue. So meaning that I'm losing because of the trade, which is just an expense, basically a cost of doing business, which is fine. It didn't work out. I take a loss. It's great. I learn from it. I move on. But when I read to you some of my mistakes I've made, you'll see that I've been doing this for 17 years and they still happen again and again. But what I went a lot deeper this time, and I think I'm really going to be closer to snuffing some of these out, hopefully for good. I'm also working with a coach who's helping me work through this, because a lot of it is just your own junk in your life and your own personality and your upbringing and things that play out in the market. So the more you hammer those things, I wouldn't say hammer is the right word, but the more you are aware of them and you move through them, the better you can step over that and really go to that next level, because you're just in your own way. So here's a few of them. I'm going to read general ones, and I'm going to read the big ones at the end. So I jump right back in something after my stop gets hit. Usually doesn't work out. I'm seeking advice externally during a drawdown. I'm looking for ideas and help at a time when I'm vulnerable. I'm holding open-ended risk into earnings reports. I leave resting orders in the book, usually never a good idea. Either something good happens and I get out too early, or something bad happens and I take a fill I don't want. I decide to go into a group format or some respected peers and get information before I've actually thought about it myself, and then I get influenced by them. Maybe I wanted to sell and I miss out on what I wanted to do. I get caught up in a narrative or a story stock. I think a lot of people can relate to that one. Let me see here. Things that go my way, I let them come back, sometimes for a loser or all the way back, because I really believe in my idea. I'm working to never let something come back more than 50%. It just shouldn't happen, especially when it goes a certain point. On the small amount of day trading I do, on a big event day, when something happens or I'm in there for a specific reason, like a Fed meeting, I'll often do well, and then I'll turn into like a multi-day trade, or I'll turn into more than what it is, and that's a mistake. It's a trade for that day and that event, and then you move on. So that's another one for me. Let me go to some of the bigger ones now. So some of the big boys are moving the goalposts as I trade. Things are going my way, and all of a sudden, instead of a two-day trade for getting out at the 58s, it's a two-week trade, and I'm getting out at the 68s. That does not work well. That's usually a disaster. It's just the worst of all worlds when I end up doing things like that. Because there's a reason that I set that trade. There's a reason I set that target. So changing it in the middle of the trade is just an emotional decision. I can reassess it after the trade. When I'm in some kind of a mania, like marijuana or crypto, and I'm wanting to take the other side of it, you really need to wait for a catalyst or a break or something like that. And I don't know, that means something different for everybody, but I got caught up a little bit selling premium against those things and just sitting through some of those things. And it's just, I'm not in the insurance selling business here. I don't do well with that. It's not my style. I've learned that the hard way. Blowing a mental stop. This is a common one, where just I'm fine. You know, I know where I'm going to get out. And all of a sudden you're not, you notice that you didn't get out. So that's a huge one. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, it's usually really ugly. Entering something in the middle of the range. Like I have an idea for my strategy, and I'm not even getting into my strategy, really. I'm just talking about the risk side of it right here. So it's even more, excuse that noise. It's more of a thing when you have a strategy fire, like you have an idea fire that you want to do. But I notice it's in the middle of the range, which means I can't really quantify my risk. It's very hard for me to figure out where I'm right or wrong. I have a lot more success looking over things when it's near the high or near the low. I just do. I don't know exactly why that is, but that's something I picked up. Not structuring a proper time frame ahead of time for the size and the trade. This is a big one. So there's an idea, you know, I like the stupid news stuff a lot. There's an idea. Some of them play out in 2-3 days. Some of them are going to take 9 months. That's the longest they would usually take. But some of them, like the Chipotle E. coli or, you know, Tesla battery fires way back in the day, or I can have a bunch of them to think of, but you get the idea. If it's going to be 3, 4, 5 months, or like Elizabeth Warren when she cracked all the healthcare stocks because everyone was worried about her plan and then they came back, the whole sector was down on stupid news. Those take like 2 or 3 months. So I need to have either an options trade or a smaller size. And the ones that take a few days, those can be bigger and I can watch them closer. So, but when I mismatch the expectations, then you get emotional, you're trading too big, you're trading too small. So that's a really important one, actually. It's just having perspective of what you're doing. Big size after a big winner is a problem for me. So I catch a huge trade, that's part of my strategy, and all of a sudden I'm flipping the other way and I think it's gone too far and I'm buying it, or I'm in something else and I'm trading the other thing a lot bigger than normal because I feel really good about myself. I just had a nice winner. Certainly not what I want to do. Everyone probably knows these, but you should go back and look at your own stuff and see how many times you make these mistakes, because they're really costly. So this is another one, sitting on an old winner with no stop or no... So you have a trade that's really been working out and it's getting near the end of its life and almost to your target. And then it'll violently reverse when it's within 10-15%, and you'll give back a lot of your money. And you kind of get lazy with it because you feel so comfortable. You've been so right. That's the time to get those price alerts in, put that stop in. Don't let that sucker come back. Any kind of uncapped risk psychologically just doesn't do well for me. So that's another one. A flurry of trades right after a big loss is a huge problem I have. And that's, I go in there and I start doing a bunch of stuff. If I've been inactive for a long time, or if I took a big loser, I'm apt to go in there and just put trades on. And that's, I've been working on that one. And I think I can get a lot better in that area. But that's, the other one is, I have a really good longer term idea and I'm short term trading around the idea a lot because I think it's right. So I'm basically have a 3 month idea and it's, you know, every other day I'm in there with a trade on around it in the same idea, because I think I can make money in the short and the long term on the idea. Usually it just blows up the entire idea when I do that. So these are most of them, I think. Yeah, those are the big ones I wanted to say. So chew on those, see what you guys think about your own. I would love to hear if anyone emails me on some of theirs, some big ones that they have and what they're going to do about them, because this stuff just keeps coming and coming and coming until you see it happen. It's like you're an athlete and you're watching film of your game. And until you see yourself do that stupid thing or have that poor footwork over and over, you don't stop doing it. So I'm excited to push hard next year on eliminating most of these. Just wanted to add a short segment to the end of this that I forgot to put in. So I looked at the trades I did well, which is my core strategy, which is these... mostly these stupid news trades. I do some other stuff, but that's probably 70% of it. And that can take on a lot of different looks. But I only did, it's crazy, but I think I only did 20% of my trades using that strategy last year. And I made a lion's share of the money doing it. So this year I want to flip that ratio to 75%, which is going to be quite the drastic move. It'll mean I'll have a lot less frequency probably than I had. And that'll be a challenge. So that's one actionable thing I'm doing. The other thing is I have these lists of mistakes and I'm going to review them every few months. And every time I do the trade, like I've said before, if you didn't listen to the other one, the first podcast on this, I take a screenshot, I write down my ideas for getting in. When I get out, I write down what happened and I have a little checklist card of what my best trades look like and some of the biggest mistakes I make. And then I just assess each one. And then when I go back and review them later, it's really easy just because I have all the data. I have a screenshot on the way in, a screenshot on the way out, and all the thinking process that went into it is there in the beginning. So I can evaluate, you know, was I thinking right or what was going on in my life? And I keep this bullet journal too, which kind of tracks a lot of my moods and my life happenings. So I can kind of look back and say, oh, I was really short on sleep, or I was irritated and I had a conflict in my life or something, and it lined up with these decisions. And you can really start to learn and grow from that. So having this stuff is really valuable, but it's the most valuable work, in my opinion, you could do. You could go to seminars, read books, have the best traders sit in your living room with you for 2 weeks, 2 months, and it wouldn't help you as much as this, because eventually everyone is just shooting themselves in the foot. Figuring out how to make money is one thing. Figuring out yourself is the life's work. So It's actually much harder, even though it seems like it's hard to find stuff that makes money. You eventually figure that out. You just stop doing it or you do other things. So I won't ramble anymore on this, but I wanted to add that in.